Good morning and welcome back to Eliza's Havoc. It's your host, Dominique, and today's topic is how the world has changed. Today's topic came to my mind because I was looking at things and remembering whenever I was a child. In my childhood, back in the 80s, early 90s, and beginning to see how things are different now. Kind of like how it was easier to get a house back then, easier to get a job. It was easier to maintain your family. Thinking how whenever I was coming home from school, there was more of a community to help keep the children in line. And it was also a general manner of respect with other adults. Children knew that they could go to certain adults and be able to get the wisdom that they needed, but not only the wisdom, but the protection that they felt they needed. Back then, if something was going on in your home, there was always that one person, didn't matter if it was your best friend or another adult, that you felt secure enough to be able to go to. Suicides were less. A lot of crime was less. Back then we had praying in schools. We had standing together. Things of this nature. We also had support systems for those who got out of jail or out of prison, who wanted to come back to society, try to become a normal part of society. And from what I remember watching of the news, I want to say crime was a little less. It might not have been less, but was either on the news less or the type of crime was less. Now, don't get me wrong. I do remember the Oklahoma City bombing, and I do remember the Twin Towers, September 11th, and these things. But these are major things that happened in my life. Another thing is we didn't have to worry about school shootings whenever I was growing up. Now, honestly, I miss those days. I miss days where things were simpler. I miss the days where I truly couldn't wait to be an adult because there were certain almost unspoken rules that were already pre-established. And I already knew that not only could I abide by those rules, but with the type of community help they had back then, already having my eye on the type of job that I wanted and the type of income that it brought in, I was excited to start a life because I had already had the motivation needed and the confidence needed to know that not only could I do it, but I could succeed at it and I could be wonderful and great at it. Even though every decade things change, at that time in my life, I was never really pre-warned of changes. It was just a matter of you're growing up. But even in growing up, certain things we just weren't ready for. I remember being able to go to my mama whenever I needed something or if I was hungry and mom didn't have it. Not to say that she couldn't get it, she just didn't have it at that time. My mom wasn't there to go ahead and make it for me. I could go to the neighbor's house or I could go down the street to my best friend's house. And more than likely her family would have it. And more than likely her mom was there so we can make it together. So I always had that family feel, no matter where I was at. It didn't matter if I was at my mama's house, Didn't matter if I was at my godmother's house, one of my mama's friend's house. Didn't matter if I was over my friend's house. But not only that, this is also, for me, the time where I saw the most married couples together who had 10 years or plus, who were still working things out and showing me, a child of a single parent, how to be able to make it work with a spouse. Not only that, I had a lot of autistic friends. I didn't know they were autistic at the time. But there were a lot of friends, nonetheless. And with a lot of my autistic friends, I learned how to humble myself and see the true value in a friendship versus a friendship that only has what you feel you can gain from it. The two families that meant the world to me were two families that had autistic daughters. I understood how to speak to them, how to socialize and communicate with them, what their boundary was, how not to cross over their boundaries. But not only that, I learned what kind of people they were. And because they were awesome people, I decided that, you know what, they were my friends. And as a friend, it's my job to defend them, my job to protect them whenever stuff is going on that mom and dad might not know about. I didn't know years later I would have an autistic child. Not realizing that I already had the skills I needed to, one, be able to make my marriage work in my home, and to be able to raise a child that is a little different. But these are the things I experienced when I was growing up. And at the time, I didn't realize any significance. I just thought that this is my childhood. This is every day. And when I say every day, I literally mean every day. But this is the way things were. It never really dawned on me that I was put with these specific people. And the attachment that I had with these specific people was almost meant to prepare me for my future. That thought never came across my mind. So I look around now, we have parents who get overly defensive whenever they feel they hear anything negative about their kids, even if it's just what we need to strengthen up or to build at so that, hey, your child can be fully prepared for any and everything in their life. We have so many families out here that are truly broken. We have so many couples who don't want to be together but try to do it for the kids, not realizing that whenever you do that, all the kids do is grow to resent you because they see the chaos. And inadvertently, without even them realizing it, they're raising them to be with somebody just like that that's going to clash with them and constantly give them chaos, and they're going to see that as a norm and acceptable. As kids, we didn't think about stuff like that, but this is things I'm seeing every day. I'm seeing that there's no more praying in school. And I understand that there were different religions. Jehovah's Witness had a best friend in school named Ashley, beautiful girl. She was a Jehovah's Witness. And oh, I felt so bad every single time we had some kind of party, Christmas party, Halloween party. Didn't matter what it was. Anytime we had like a major party in our class, she was never allowed to be involved. And I remember how my heart went out to her. And sometimes I would even come to school with an extra bag of candy that had no labels on it, like for Christmas, I would come with a present, but I would never call it a present. I would just tell them that that's theirs. Well, for Ashley, I bought her a doll. And I saved up my money, my little money for my birthday, and got her a little doll. Not anything large or really big, something that was small. And I gave it to her. Thought the doll looked like her. And I tried everything I could to make sure not to call it a Christmas present. And sometimes I even waited till after Christmas whenever we came back to school. In January, to give her the doll. That way, she would be allowed to keep it. And it wouldn't be something considered Christmas-y, if you will. I remember sometimes I did the same thing for Halloween. One of the habits I had growing up was I liked candy. I liked it a lot. Sometimes I was willing to take a whooping to get some extra candy sometimes. And so one year, I believe I was in third or fourth grade, I decided to get myself a bag of candy. That way, I wouldn't be in my feelings about whenever we got the little bags of candy, always thinking that somebody else had the bigger bag. Got myself a bag of candy. I decided that day I was not going to trick-or-treat, which I ended up trick-or-treating that night. Well, not that night, but the week after that. But I bought the candy early, hoping that, hey, if I ate this candy, I'll be able to curb my urge to go out and steal candy or to beat up other people and take their candy and things of this nature, because I was somewhat of a bully. I just were bullied to the popular kids and defended all the ones that were less popular. It was kind of backwards bully. But in the process of doing that, I can't remember what the girl's name was, but I ended up giving another little girl who was a Jehovah's Witness who was not allowed to be in the Halloween party, the Halloween parade, wasn't allowed to dress up or anything like that. I remember giving her some candy ahead of time, knowing that she was never allowed in the parties every year, so that it wouldn't be considered Halloween. I also knew a lot of parents that just didn't do the whole Halloween parties for the sake of Halloween because they had always thought it was something evil and non-spiritual. But that's another conversation for another day. It's just these are the things that I remember growing up. I remember the houses that I saw growing up. Every single one of them that I ever saw on TV were either a Victorian, a colonial, old-style traditional. It was very rare for me to see ranch-style houses, which was what I lived in, so I always kind of thought my house was ugly because I wanted to live in one of those houses that all the kids on TV get to live in. I also remember being able to spend the night at my best friend's. And all my best friends were pretty much the same. All of them had two parents, except me. Had an autistic sibling, except me. And what some of you would consider ride or die. We had gotten into some trouble. We had really proved ourselves to each other that we were worth sticking around with. Mind you, my friends to this very day are still alive, but these are the things I remember growing up in the 90s and now there's school shootings. Now there are young people killing other people with guns. Now it's more publicized police brutality and violence against our kind than there was back then. Now, We also used to have churches that would also assist as a community. We don't even have the church back up anymore. It almost feels like this world is a totally, completely different place. And every time we get pregnant or we're planning a family or we know we're going to have a family, one of the first things we want is for the world to be good enough for our children to be able to grow up in and to live in, even though we know it's going to be some type of sense of chaos. I miss the way things were. I miss the level of brutalities. Matter of fact, I even miss the type of horror movies. You had a lot of movies that allowed you to use your mind to fill in the blanks to a lot of things. Stephen King's movies. Heck, Stephen King's books. I remember the reading corner at the library. It's not there anymore, but the reading corner was supposed to be for any kid who generally wanted to read, but these were for teenagers that wanted to read advanced books. That was serious about going to the library. They were serious about their books. They didn't have to be nerds. But that was a place where if you were having a hard day at school, hard day at home, you could always go there and feel safe. You had people that cared. No one really liked the security guards, and I think that's still the same, but with me, I had somewhere that was a second home that had something that I loved in it. I miss things like this. I miss the bonds that you had with people. Now, things from those years are very different. First, a lot of the people that were here then are gone now. A lot of the teachings are lost. A lot of the communities are shattered. Now we live in a society where people are getting offended left and right about every little thing. People don't know how to stick it out. Longevity is not a word that would be used to describe anything in this generation nowadays. People are afraid to do the things that came naturally back then. They're afraid to discipline their children, hold their family together, be truly the head of household. Heck, people nowadays are even afraid to teach their kids or tell their kids that it is okay to fight a bully out of fear that the bully might come back somehow victimized and put everybody's child in danger. These things we don't have to deal with growing up. We did the old fashioned, if you had an issue with this person, you took it up with this person. And if by chance you got beat up, a lot of y'all remember this, y'all went to y'all parents and what y'all parents used to say, did you win? If you won, good job. It don't matter if you got suspended or not. If you lost, you better go back and beat they butts. And even if you keep getting lost, learn something from it. Learn to either duck and dodge. Learn that whenever they put weight on one side, they're going to swing with the other. Be observant and learn from it. And even though those were some hard times, some of us that grew up 70 and 80s babies, we remember how that actually helped us out. But now, there's none of that. I remember back then, I was a tomboy. And I was in ballet class, but I also liked soldiers and military stuff. And things of this nature. And a lot of times, because I dress like a tomboy, had baggy clothes on and baggy pants and kind of wanted to hide my figure, my mother kind of questioned what was going on with me. And sometimes things like that, it allowed us to sit down and talk about what was really going on in my mind. And due to that, she understood why I dressed like a tomboy, which assisted me in finding my husband and not being treated like anything less. You don't even have that nowadays. Nowadays, we have, if your kid says they feel this way, instead of talking about it thoroughly, instead of figuring out what's going on, because nothing is wrong, instead of many therapists understanding that with children, there's usually an underlying issue going on. If this is the way many have to act on the surface to be able to cope and deal with what's going on. Heck, back then we had therapists who listened. Don't get me wrong, some therapists went to sleep. But we had more people who listened. Nowadays, there's a pill for everything. Therapists aren't making any money, but psychiatrists are the people to go to. They're the ones that got the pills for everything. If you have a sneeze, there's a pill for it. If you have an urge, there's a pill for it. If you have a desire that seems to be different, there's a pill for it. If you don't like where your hair is growing, anything, there's a pill for it. If you don't like the physical way you look, there's a pill for it. I miss the days where people used to communicate. People used to talk. You was able to talk to your mama and your grandmama, figure out the way things were. How real men and real women were supposed to act. The type of friends that you didn't need to bring around and why. Just the way the world is nowadays, it's very different. And I know any of my listeners that are 70s, 80s, 50s, 60s, 30s, 40s generation, you all understand exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe even some 90s to early 2000s, maybe. So let me ask y'all this. Am I wrong for wanting the world to go back to the way it was? Economically, physically, even with having more land and more oceans and things of this nature. Am I wrong for wanting to go back? Am I wrong for not really seeing the value and how anything can get better? Am I wrong for not wanting to hear that it's going to get worse, but thinking that in the back of my mind? I don't know. You guys call in, type in, do whatever rocks your boat. Let me know how you all feel. Give me your opinions. Always open ears, open mind, no judgment. Until next time, talk to you guys later.